Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hey, welcome back to the Everyday Saturday podcast. Sam Crowley, awesome day. It is a fabulous Saturday. Every day is Saturday. Make sure you check out the Everyday Saturday podcast on iTunes in over 100 countries. Hundreds and thousands of people checking in to be inspired, motivated to go after their dream. It's awesome. Hey, we got a great show. Actually, have another interview today. You know, we only go after royalty. We only go after the best of the best. And we've searched high and low, north and south, east and west. And we found America's Most Wanted. I'm going to bring him out right now. My buddy, good buddy, Ron Douglas. You with me, Ron?
Yes, sir. What's up, Sam? Thanks for having me.
Hey, buddy. How you been? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I've been doing great. Keeping busy, you know?
Every time I see you, you're taking a photo in Barnes & Noble in front of one of your 500 books you wrote. How's that going?
Yeah, that's one of my things I do, man. I go there, sign some books, take a photo, and they give me better placement in the bookstore. Usually it's like on the bottom shelf somewhere. So if I sign them, they put them in the front. So I just go
you know
Barnes & Noble hopping.
I'll tell everybody how you and I met, man, and how long we've known each other. Ron and I actually used to play for the Knicks. He was a power forward. I was a two guard. And we played in a lot of different playoff games, a lot of great matches against Jordan's Bulls back in the day. Weren't those great times, Ron?
Yeah. You remember the dunks back then? Oh, my.
Yeah, man. I dished it off to you. It was a no-look pass. I remember it went over Jordan and Pippen. You were perfectly, man, coming in from the side. It threw it down. Nice job, dude. Good times.
Yeah.
But actually, Ron and I are actually big Knicks fans. We have that in common. We're also entrepreneurs, authors. But I met Ron way back in the day at a product launch, and I was in New York City and ran into Ron through a mutual friend. We went out to dinner together. Ron, you're one interesting dude, and this is why I say you're one interesting dude, is you've got a book called It's America's Most Wanted Recipes. Am I saying that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And you can check it out. It's in Barnes & Noble. I'm sure it's online. We'll give Ron an opportunity to let you know how you can find it. Ron was also an internet marketer. I remember him being in Warrior Forum back in the day as well. But I thought that was an amazing idea. Tell us what America's Most Wanted Recipes. Tell us all about it, because I think it's ingenious. Give us an idea how to get started. What was the idea for it, and what exactly is it?
Right. Well, it's a book that features knockoff restaurant recipes, so like copycat restaurant recipes, my version of dishes from like chain restaurants like the Olive Garden, Red Lobster, Cheesecake Factory, Applebee's, TGI Fridays, places like that. There are like over 150 different dishes from 57 different restaurants, or my version to come pretty close, if not exact. And I got that idea, you know, just cooking was a hobby of mine. And back in the days, I was into internet marketing. I was into direct marketing, but I couldn't quite cut it selling internet marketing related products because all the experts, that's what they were doing. So I said, you know, maybe I'll find a niche related to my hobby of cooking. And I kind of stumbled upon copycat recipes, you know, searching for the KFC recipe, and I found that a lot of other people were searching for it as well, and people were talking about it on message boards, and I said, you know, this would be a great ebook if I can get a bunch of these recipes, put it in the ebook, and start selling it online. And then I started doing that, started offering other sites a commission for promoting it, and then people started demanding that, you know, they just didn't want the ebook, they wanted their physical book. So that's when it became a physical book, and sold a bunch of them on my own, I think like 50,000 copies, close to 60,000 copies actually over the years, self-published, and built up a huge following online. And every day became Saturday, man. I got a book deal and got a lot of publicity for my version of the KFC recipe, and became a New York Times bestseller. And the Simon Schuster's distribution just really made it take off. And we sold over 1.2 million books since then. I just finished up my fifth book in that America's Most Wanted Recipes series.
Dude, that's amazing. That is freaking amazing. Congratulations, first of all, on all of that, man.
Thanks.
All right, dude. I got a lot of questions and everything you just threw out there. So here we go. I'm going to start interrogating you like a hostage on this one because I got to figure out what, first of all, I want to know the very first recipe that you knocked off that you created. And where do you, like, I know you had a passion for cooking, but how do you get the recipe so close? I mean, is it, where do you even start, man? Like, I wouldn't even know. Do I go to the produce section of Kroger? Do I go into the spices section? What do you do? I mean, that's crazy what you're doing.
Well, there are two ways to come up with a copycat recipe. There's a hard way and there's a less hard way. The hard way is KFC would be ultimately impossible. That was the first recipe I came up with. You know, I would try to go to the restaurants and they would give me little hints, but they could never tell me what's in it because it's such a secret recipe, and they would kind of want to throw you out there just for asking questions about it. So
who would you talk to? Like the kid, like the 14-year-old making $7 an hour? Or, you know, who are you talking to try to get ideas on the recipe when you go to these places?
Yeah, anybody you can, man. You talk to anybody you see in the back, you know, hanging out in the back by the dumpster. Start talking to them. But, man, but all the stuff comes prepackaged there anyway.
Yeah.
So they don't really know either. But that one's trial and error. And I mean, there's two ways. The easy way is just to go online and do research and see what other people have tried to come up with, you know, and put their stuff together and say, okay, well, this person said they put this in it. This person said they put that in it. And then you do a couple different versions and you test it out and you know, you come up with your own version of it, which my version came out luckily pretty similar. And the media would tell you it's exactly the version, you know. That's how I got a lot of publicity. They kind of sensationalized that story that I cracked the code on KFC. Meanwhile, the whole time, like you said, it was just a copycat version. I don't really know what the real version is. Nobody does.
Right.
That's the, you know, the hard way is to, like if I was trying to copycat an Applebee's recipe or something, Applebee's ribs, I would go in there and I would tell them that, you know, my wife has food allergies, which she does. And I would say, you know, can you tell me the ingredients in this particular dish? And once you have the ingredient, you can compare it against a similar dish to come up with similar instructions. And then you just, you know, I have a couple of chefs that work with me that contribute, and I promote their website, and they, you know, they do it for exposure, and they test out different dishes. I share different dishes in my email newsletter, on my blog, and on Facebook, and people get feedback that way. But it's really just research and trial and error.
So, oh, dude, that's amazing. So is there any trademark or any legal? I mean, did you have any concerns when you first got going? Like, I might start hearing from somebody's attorney soon if I put something out like this?
No, as long as you have the proper disclaimers and say that it's your version. Like, you could copycat anything, you know, pretty much anything, as long as you reverse engineer it and come up with your version of it and state that. You know, I can't state that it's theirs. I can't state that they endorse it, but I can state that it's my version of their recipe.
Wow, that's fascinating, man. So take me back to when you first, when you were, you talked about you were doing online marketing. What year was it? You know, the early part of the decade, the late 90s. When was it that you were, you know, knocking yourself around trying to be an internet marketer and thought, nah, this just ain't going to work?
I started out in 2001 as an affiliate marketer. I was promoting other people's products, mainly on ClickBank. That's when I really started, and I got the idea that, you know, hey, I'm promoting other people's products. What if I had a product myself that everybody else was promoting? You know, it seems like that would be a great opportunity to make even more money, you know, instead of my efforts resulting in money, maybe I could get money from everybody's efforts, you know, from everybody promoting the product. So I started to want to create my own product. My first product was an internet marketing-related product. It was an interview product. I went out and I interviewed a bunch of top internet marketers at the time and asked them, you know, what they would do if they were starting over from scratch. You know the question, starting over from scratch with no money and no list and all that stuff. What would they do? And I did a ebook related to that and probably made about $500-$600. It's nothing big. And I thought I could be able to get all of those internet marketers to promote that same ebook, but about two or three of them promoted it out of 19 or 20 I think I had in there. So I went back to the drawing board, and that's when I started looking for more of a niche product to promote. And my second product after that was the ebook, cooking ebook.
Wow, that's crazy, man. So I hear entrepreneurs all the time, you know, they say, I don't know. I mean, all the good ideas have been taken and I don't know anything about internet marketing and, you know, everybody's an expert on anything. I'm not an expert on anything. If you were to talk to somebody that was just getting started, would you push them towards online marketing? Here's my question phrased in a different way. Someone says, hey, Ron, I want the freedom you got, but I don't want to go to a job every day. What's the advice you would give them? Where do I even start?
Right. Well, you start by looking at your own personal expertise, your own experience. What are your own hobbies? What do you work at? What do you do for a living? What do you know more about than the average person that would really want to know, you know, learn from you? Like, what are you an expert in? And that's where you would really start. And then you would qualify that by saying, are people buying the stuff that I'm an expert in, you know? And then from there, if they are, if those two line up, it's pretty easy to go online and just start sharing what you know and build a following online. And, you know, especially with social media these days, you can go in and if you're an expert, it shows, you know, just start sharing good content, sharing tips. And before you know it, people start following you, you build your own email list. That's what I would tell people to do is build an email list. A lot of times I tell people, you know, you could start off as an affiliate. Just find a really good product related to what you want to talk about, related to your expertise, and build an email list. And when people opt into your email list, recommend that product as a way to offset your costs, offset your expenses, to kind of build your following and make commissions to offset any advertising costs you have. If you find a really good product that has a good funnel, a good back end, and a high average customer value, then you could make that work.
That's great advice, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, the other way to do it is just go ahead and create a product, man, and just create a really good product, add a lot of value, and have an affiliate program for it and go out to people in that niche. You know, once you've shared your expertise and, you know, once people get to know you, they'll be willing to promote that product, give them a commission. I mean, even if you give them 100%, you're still building a customer list from that particular product. So you can really, to get in the game, I mean, probably the easiest way is just create a product and just completely sacrifice that product. Just say, the hell with it, I'm just going to give away 100% commission to everybody that promotes it. I'm going to build my following, build a big list, and get in the game that way. I mean, that's a way to do it as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people lose sight of the fact that, you know, myself included, when I first got started, it cost me about $20,000 to create a $17 product that one person bought. So, you know, had I done it differently, talking about a sales letter, buying software, it was so stupid, man. I talk about this all the time, how much money I spent on a launch that never even really happened. But it was fine because I don't think you can actually... Well, it wasn't fine. I wish I had that money. if you don't go through that, man, I don't really, it's almost like a rite of passage, failing, spending money, stuff that doesn't work, and then meeting people who don't do what they say they're going to do and all this different things. You almost got to go through that as an entrepreneur, and the sooner you do it, the better. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely are going to have some roadblocks and some stumbling points that you just come with the territory. I mean, it's just what it is. It's kind of like the universe, man. It just wants to give props to people that deserve it, I guess. You know, it's kind of like the way life is. If you buy a stock right now, you might take a loss before you start making a profit. Or if you invest in a business, like you buy a franchise, you're going to take maybe a $100,000 loss up front. Just, you know, you borrow money just to get established before you start making money, and there's a break-even period. Well, luckily online, you don't have to invest $100,000. I mean, $20,000 is a whole lot, but yeah, there's still that obstacle you have to get over, and it's all a learning experience. And if you can learn from others' failures, then, you know, you're on top of the game. But if you get in, you got to expect that you got to fail fast and get to that point where you learn enough to say, okay, well, let me fix this, let me change that. There's no, what do you say, there's no failures, everything is just a learning experience?
Yeah, I think so, and I think people hear that and they might think, well, that's easy for Ron Douglas to say, dude selling 1.5 million books. I mean, yay for you, Ron. You know, I'm Johnny stuck in a corporate job, and I got no internet marketing experience, which I want to segue into that. What were you doing before you even tried to get into online marketing?
Yeah, I was working at J.P. Morgan Chase in their investment banking division. I was a financial analyst and a relationship manager.
Dude, I'm yawning while you tell me that job title.
Yeah, I bet. I'm yawning thinking about it.
What did an average day? Every day probably wasn't Saturday working at J.P. Morgan Chase, man, was it?
Oh, forget about it, man. Every day was Monday.
God.
Yeah, you know, and I once in New York, we had one of the most, the worst commutes you could think of. It would take me rush hour. It would take me about an hour and 15 minutes just to get there, an hour and 15 minutes to get home. With no traffic, without rush hour, it was like a 25-minute commute. But during rush hour, hour and 15 minutes each way, then, you know, the expectation there is, if you leave at 5, you got to have a good excuse.
Yeah.
You know, you better have a good excuse. Like, you got to go pick up your kid, or you got to go to the doctor, you got an appointment. Because, you know, you would never get a bonus, never get a raise, and you could find yourself without a job just by leaving at the time you're supposed to leave.
Yeah.
You know, so it was that type of culture, that type of community there where you had to, everyone was busting their ass. Everyone, 50, 60 hours a week was the norm. You know, and there was no overtime. So it was like you just put in those hours on your set salary.
Wow, dude. So what was the impetus for you quitting? When did you leave? What year did you quit your job, and why did you quit? What were you thinking when you did that?
Well, they let me off easy, man. They laid me off in 2007. I finally left the corporate world for good. And, you know, I had, at the time, a mortgage to pay for. I had one kid at home already. My daughter was 3 years old at the time, and my son was about to be born. And a month before he was born, they laid me off.
Oh.
Now, I was getting great reviews. I thought I was doing well. You know, what they did was I was making six figures. So they hired a guy that was making $70,000 and made me train him. They said, hey, they made sure they told me, like, show this guy everything you know. You know, train him and everything. I should have saw the red flag from that, but I didn't at the time, and I was still so surprised. And then one day they just called me in the office, and after I fully trained this guy, he was up to speed, called me in the office. He told me we were having a team meeting at 1 o'clock, coming to the office. So I came to the office, and the team wasn't there. It was just me, the division manager, and the HR person, and I knew what was up when I saw that. And I got I think I got 6 months severance, and I had to sign, in order to get the severance, I had to sign a document saying that I wouldn't sue them, or either that, or I would have to get a lawyer and all that stuff. So I signed that I wouldn't sue them, but they gave me my freedom papers, man. I walked out of there, never looked back. I had my business off the ground already. I was doing it part-time, so I had been doing it part-time between 2001 and 2006, and I was making more from the business than I was the job, but I still couldn't get the courage to leave there, and they let me off easy by laying me off. It was kind of the best thing that ever happened.
Wow, dude, that's stone cold. Remind me if anybody ever says I'm having a team meeting not to show up for that one.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Ambushed.
And they walked me out the door like I stole something, man. I got back to my desk. The computer was taken away.
Yeah.
I couldn't get into any of my files. And I really literally had to get a box and collect my stuff and leave there within 15 minutes. And they walked me down to the lobby and had to hand in my security pass, and that was it.
Dude, that's wild. Hey, congratulations. So, I mean, that's one hell of a story. I mean, I know when you were going through the process, it didn't feel like it was going to end that well. But, boy, I'll tell you, after you got walked out of there and got your freedom papers, how long after that did you come up with the idea of the recipes, like trying to take a crack at that timeline-wise?
Well, that was already in the process. I had been selling those books since self-published since 2003.
Oh, okay.
I was doing that for 4 years. But after I left there, I got the within a year, less than a year, I got the book deal with Simon & Schuster, and that's when the thing really took off with the media and all that stuff.
Do you think you got to be lucky, man? I mean, did anything happen after leaving J.P. Morgan Chase and your first book deal with the recipes? Did anything fortuitous? I mean, was there something that happened? You're like, damn, that's amazing. That just happened. Or was it just strictly your hard work and you got in touch with somebody who could get you in touch with somebody, that type of thing?
Yeah, well, one thing I thought to myself after leaving was that the opportunity was there because I wasn't busy between 9 and 7 every day anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I can network with people. I can go to events. I have that freedom. I can go wherever I want. I'm making money online. You know, I can talk to people in the middle of the day without worrying about some boss hovering over my shoulder. So I started networking with other people who had that same type of freedom, and apparently those are the people you want to be talking with, you know?
Apparently, yeah.
yeah. So I ended up hiring a publisher, you know, Adam Weiss.
Yeah.
He worked with him as well. they hired Adam, and Adam had a friend that worked in the New York Post. But prior to that, prior to getting the book deal with Simon Schuster, this was, you know, this was all during the Great Recession. I got laid off right at the start of the Great Recession.
Yeah.
In 2008, I had my first television appearance. And this was before the book deal. But they just loved the story of a former Wall Street guy leaves his job to pursue his passion of cooking.
How important is the story? Let me ask you that question right there. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's important. How important is it to be able to frame your story the right way?
Oh, it's critical. That's probably one of the most important things, I would say, is to have a story that people want to hear about. If you have that, then the media, you know, they're looking for stories all the time. You know, every day, 24 hours a day, they have to put something on, you know? So if you have a good story that people want to know about, it's not that difficult to get on, you know, as long as it's, you frame it the right way, you have the right angle, and it taps in. If it taps into what they're looking to talk about at the time, like at the time they wanted to talk about the recession. That's what everybody was talking about, right? Great recession and financial collapse and all that stuff. So this fit right in with that story. So it was the right time and the right story, and it was pretty easy to get me on Fox. So I got on Fox before I even got the book deal, and that interview, you know, we took that Fox interview, and we took the my success that I already had, the following I already built. And within 90 days after that, we had got a book deal. Got two different offers that we signed up with Simon Schuster. They gave me a six-figure advance to do my first two books.
Wow. Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah, well.
So here's the story that I'm hearing, because parts of this I had never heard before. So former corporate exec gets let go, walked out, gets his freedom papers, was kicking around in online marketing, not really realizing the success, tries to find his passion, finds it in the fact that he loves to cook, goes out and talks to people behind dumpsters to get recipes for for food, and or waiters and waitresses talking about, you know, I have an allergy, how do I get, just, dude, that is the, first of all, it's an incredible story, but it's also, necessity really is the mother of invention. Like, when you got to feed your kids and then you got to figure out how to monetize what your passion is, there really isn't any other choice but success, wouldn't you think?
For sure. Do what you got to do. Sure. That's why you hear about so many people who become rich or become famous or make it in Hollywood. You know, that at one point in their life, they were homeless or living in their car. It's the same type of mentality. It's like, you know, I'm going to make this happen. I got no choice. And when you got no choice, things start to happen. Like, that's how it works.
Did the thought ever cross your mind, what if, like, do I got to go get another job? Or were you just saying, to hell with everything, man, this is going to work, come fight or flight, man, I'm going to make it happen?
Now, when it initially happened, when I initially got laid off, my first thought was like, oh, no, man, what am I going to do now? That check's not going to be here, you know, yeah. And I started thinking about it. And I talked to my wife, and I thought she would be concerned, but she said, oh, that's great news. Now you can pursue your business full time.
Wow.
You know, and she was so supportive, and she was a lot more confident than I was. And I said, you know what? You're right. I'm going to make this happen. Because, I mean, the one thing I had also, and going back to what we talked about in the beginning, was I had an email list. You know, I had that asset. I had people that I could press send and contact just with a push of a button and sell stuff and offer value to and communicate with just by sending out an email. You know, that alone kept me afloat. You know, if I had to give away everything, like everything I had, just keep the email list, I would be in business still.
Yeah.
You know, that was the thing. And I had like 150,000 subscribers at the time.
Wow. That's a great point, dude. I think the one takeaway besides the amazing success of the book is whatever you got to do to build that following, that tribe, that email list, whatever you want to call it, fans of your, whatever you got to give away to get that person to start following you and your message, it really is invaluable to be able to hit send and connect with people and make the cash register ring. So, Ron, last question, man. What's an average day look like in the life of Ron Douglas now?
An average day, I usually work now between like 10 and 3. I have an office literally instead of an hour and 15-minute commute, it's like 5 minutes away. I could walk here if I wanted to.
Nice.
So I have a little office down the road. I have, you know, a good buddy works next door in the office next door, so I come here and hang out. I have my buddy Nick, he's my marketing assistant. He comes in now between 10 and 3. And, you know, we just run the online business, man. We talk about new and exciting projects. want to do. We put together new sites, new communications to our email list, and you know, that's pretty much the average day now. We just keep in contact with people, keep in contact on social media, and just add value and extract money from the value that we add is pretty much the equation.
Sounds like the Saturday lifestyle, brother. That's awesome. Hey, how
It's cool that I can get up and go whenever I want. Like, if I don't want to work that day, I don't have to. Or if I want to go on vacation, I could, you know, wherever there's a computer, I could make money. So, I'm on your lead, man. You're an inspiration with the Every Day is Saturday thing, for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate that, dude. I don't know when that's ever going to lead to courtside tickets to the Knicks, but I'm guessing maybe next year. I hit you up every year, almost every time, every year. But I'm still waiting for that email. I'm sure it's coming, though, brother.
Yeah, let me know next time you're in town, man. We can make it happen.
We'll do it. We'll do it. Hey, so now that everybody's listening to the podcast, they want, oh, my God, I got to get closer to Ron Douglas. I want to find out more about this guy. He's totally got me fired up. How do people get a hold of you, Ron? Or how can they find out more about you, I guess? Tell us that.
All right, well, if you're into cooking, you can go to recipesecrets.net, which is my cooking site. We have a free email newsletter that we share, you know, we share our secret recipes, and we have a blog on the site. But if you're into making money online or just living the freedom type lifestyle where you could, you know, make money from any computer anywhere you want to go, and you want to learn how I got started and how I do it, you can go to rondouglas.com, 1S, rondouglas.com, and I have an email newsletter there where I share some tips. I have a presentation you can watch showing exactly how I got started and what I'm currently doing. So that's it.
Awesome, Ron. Hey, thanks for coming on board, man. I know you're a busy guy. I know you're not, you know, as busy as you were in the corporate world, but you took a little bit of time out to come in and share some wisdom. What a great story, dude. I'm glad we finally caught up. So let's make sure we stay in touch, all right?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it. And talk to you soon.
You got it, Ron. Everybody, that's Ron Douglas. Make sure you connect with Ron, as he gave you the website, rondouglas.com as well. And make sure, this guy is a true inspiration. You follow his lead, because you got to find your passion, monetize your passion. Don't make it difficult. Just necessity really is the mother of invention. It's Sam Crowley signing off for today's Every Day Saturday podcast. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.